So, looking back at where we've been, and then we'll move forward into section Hey. We've seen several, Chazanish has presented several different applications of belief, several different opportunities to put emuna into play. That's how he understands bitachon, is emuna is at play in growing my self-control in situations where self-control is necessary, self-discipline is necessary to put HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reps in open mind. Emunah can be in play, as there can be bitachon in the calm I bring to facing a precarious situation, uncertain future. And bitachon can be on display in the way I practically respond to an uncertain future. So far, we had this very dramatic presentation of what not to do, right? Of the fellow who lacks bitachon, who acts out in all sorts of inappropriate ways, because he doesn't, he's not, the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show is not yet deep enough. And so when push comes to shove, it's very hard for him to not do all sorts of underhanded things in ways that lack integrity in order to, that story that he has of putting down competition. And here we turn to something positive. Here we turn to something positive. The Achein, section here at the very bottom of page of test. Achein means a bitachon king halev. Now, bitachon is really a kinyan of the heart. It is a midah. And he says, consider this. A genuine boteach, someone who's really driven by a genuine degree of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's playing out in his life, you're not going to hear him talk about it. Unlike Reuven, who he had profiled, who from the outset was bragging about how he's such a boteach and telling everyone else they should be boteach like him. Someone's for real. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really part of your life like that, then that's going to pasuk. And a person's going to be, it's going to shape modesty also. It's going to shape humility too. An honest boteach actually will recognize how much is missing. What does that mean? They say, it's quoted that Rav Sadia Gaon, who lived over 1,000 years ago, and one of the author, one of the most famous Sifrei Emunah, post-Talmudic Sifrei Emunah, Emunas Vedeis. So it's reported that he, at one point in his life, was doing tshuva every day, the degree of Emunah that he had the day before. As he grew from day to day, he felt that, yesterday, and now that he attained a certain degree of emunah, looks back at yesterday and says, what was that? That wasn't enough. That wasn't sufficient. So he was an ongoing sense of a tshuva about the insufficient emunah in the past. That sort of picture, a person, the more one lives with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then when the more a person will become humble and modest and a recognition of the greatness of Ribbono Shel Olam, and the more you realize how much more there is to grow. And he'll feel that way. He'll look at himself and say, my bitachon doesn't suffice. I should have more emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Barak l'masa, but in terms of how he's acting, we're going to see, bitachon but he will be a person who's real poteach. He'll be acting, he'll be living with a sense of strength, of otzma in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo yechasim re'eu poseach hanos. And when he sees in contrast to the story of to the sad story of Reuven that we saw over the last couple of weeks, a true boteach isn't going to be frightened that that competition is starting. Remember, and as we begin to see how he plays it out, yishtadel od lazor l'rehu, he might even be ready to help the competition. If someone's coming into town, someone's new. To give him good advice, try to help him out. Yeah, that's remarkable. Imagine how much kedusha is added to the world. Try to picture that. To see someone doing chesed for someone who's going to be going to be competition. How lucky is he? How lucky is the generation that has that that sort of person? And at the Mosif to Hilali Reyav, in contrast to Reuven, who was so underhanded, and who brings such a shame on the name of people who supposedly speak the name of Musar, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, someone who's really acting out of a sense of Emunah, it'll be such a Kiddush Hashem. Now, you might be wondering, well, it seems a little much. It helped in the competition. I understand you're not going to be nasty, but it helped the competition. What happened to Hishtadlus? So I think 2 points, I see that twinkle in Han's eye.
I wasn't
going to
say it because I didn't know the answer against Kofer, but I'm like, are you crazy? Like, you know, it seems.
I appreciate your honesty, Yochan.
Listen, that's what we hear about. Emunah B'Deah. We hear the
Now, I put it in a different, a little bit different way.
Sure.
So I'm not going to say the person's crazy, but I'll say that that is called chesed. That's not called. And maybe in this case, it's probably chesed that's enabled by proper bitachon.
Right.
But I wouldn't have called it bitachon itself.
So let's talk about both points.
Amount of bitachon without that.
Right. Well, remember, bitachon is, in the Chazanish's understanding, bitachon is the acting on one's emunah, the putting emunah into practice. So saying that this is an act that's enabled by bitachon is, I think, essentially the same as saying this is an expression of bitachon. In other words, this is something, you're right, it's not only bitachon, it's also chesed. But this is an act of chesed that I can only do if I have a deep enough emunah that allows me to do this. So this is an act of bitachon. Rabbi Elchanan says, is this what it's called for? Is this appropriate? Like what happened to, it seems like you're, it's not an act of bitachon to walk into work and act inappropriately and sort of like tempt them to fire me and say, well, you know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, so I'll be fine. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to keep the job, I'll keep the job. So I may as well, you know, act irresponsibly at work and basically ask to be fired. And, you know, wait to see if HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensures I don't get fired anyhow. That's what Chan said. What do you mean? You're helping the competition. So I think at least two thoughts. Number one, it's worth harking back. The very first point that he made about bitachon is that bitachon is a midah, and a midah means that it's not binary, it's not yes or no, there could be a whole slew of levels. So he's describing here, and that's the ode. He's describing here different degrees of bitachon. In other words, well, a certain degree of bitachon will allow me to not run into a panic when I see that there's another starboard. Kadosh Baruch Hu can enable us both to do well. Right? More people can move in, more people can move out, there can be more interest, less interest, because there's so many ways that Kadosh Baruch Hu can work things out. A significant degree of bitachon will allow me to not be frightened. And that corresponds to what we were talking about before in section Aleph about my emotional reaction to a uncertain future. And the next step may corresponds to the practical reaction to an uncertain future. And that may yishtadel. Oh, he might even you know, go out of his way to help the fellow. So that probably requires even more. That requires a lot of movement. Now, why? But why does this even make sense in principle? Why does Madrega, if I could get there? So there is absolutely a chiyuv hishtadlus. That's something he's going to take up in the next paragraph in section Vav. And that means I need to do reasonable things in order to ensure my success. I need to do reasonable things that put me in a place to succeed. For me to destroy my business is absolutely a violation of Hishtadlus. That's not proper bitachon. But if Bidarach HaTava, we could, there are plenty of communities that have multiple businesses in the same industry. It happens all the time. You can have a mall with 5-10 clothing stores and they're all doing well. It's in a situation where it's not, you know, where it's not unreasonable, where it's not, you know, in a situation where b'derech hateva we could both do well. My natural reaction might still be competition. I gotta shut it down, or at the very least, competition. I'm not gonna help him. So to do something which b'derech hateva can, I could still succeed. He can succeed, and I can succeed. My emotional reaction, my gut reaction is, I gotta shut him down.
I'm not talking about shutting down. I'm saying, at the end of the day, you got to be reasonable, right? We talked about being reasonable. So listen, you know, I'm not gonna do what Reuven did because Reuven got a bad rap, and that one looked good. Should have presented, etc. But I'm
now saying, you're just getting sarcastic, huh?
Of course I am. That's who I am. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, to go out and shoot myself in the foot seems a bit extreme.
Right, so to do something that B'derech HaTava is ruining me.
Isn't that ruining him? The guy got this renting the store next to me, and he's selling widgets like I'm selling widgets. So isn't that B'derech HaTava? If you asked a rational human being, is that something you should do? No. Should you encourage a guy to come and help you? Blah, blah, blah? No. So why helping him? Is that not?
Yeah, well, sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it does work. Again, witness the mall with 27 clothing stores. With all those women's apparel stores. You walk into any mall, you look at the directory, and there's a host of stores that are selling women's apparel. There's a host of stores selling men's apparel. And there's a whole bunch of restaurants. And in many situations, they're all doing well. In many situations, they're all doing poorly. And in some situations, some are doing well, some are doing poorly. Right. So it's not for me to go, as opposed to, for me to walk into work and act irresponsibly, or I'm inviting, my dismissal.
It's balanced. No, but are we contrasting this to Ruvan, who took the extreme approach, saying...
Taking it to an extreme.
Okay.
I think it's the rabbi said, you have to be reasonable. Under the circumstances that the rabbi there was positing, it seemed to be the reasonable thing, even if it was an extension of himself.
But if it was so reasonable, Jake was saying, so reasonable... The other extreme, when we talked about Ruvan, that guy went ballistic, right?
Right.
So I'm assuming he's assuming it's bad for him. So one guy thinks it's good, one guy thinks it's bad. Why is that an issue to be talking? See, back to Seth's questions. There's nothing to be talking. It's tested.
No.
One guy says it's good, one guy says it's bad. They're looking at different business structures of how is it going to help their business or not. I'm assuming it's all bad. And the first guy says, hey, it's bad. I've got to be extreme in one way. And the other one says, I don't care.
Depends on the circumstance. Sometimes an absolute no is the required response, and often it's not. Often there's a way to work it out. But I mean, I think the extremes that the rabbis offer as examples are just meant to highlight the extreme, not the real world situation. It's a continuum. You just got to act accordingly.
That I think is a very important point. This is definitely to be able to do what he's describing here is a. Right, but it lays out, and as if bitachon is a continuum, so it means I want to move over time from in that direction, away from Reuven and towards the anti-Reuven.
Is what he's saying that, let's say I have a pizza store, and I think it was a pizza store. I shouldn't believe that there is X amount of pizza that's going to be bought. It's moved to us, rather that X is variable, and we'll both do well. Is that what he's saying? That maybe a Hirschberg will make it be X times 2.
And that's not a nice nikla. In other words, that is all those scenarios happen. Right. The scenario of another store opens and now everyone's business is cut in half. That happens. The scenario of more stores open and over time we both take off more happens. And the scenario of just one store that hangs around and is stable, and this scenario of one store that hangs around, and over time, it, you know,
but if the two stores
tanks.
Happy, that's what everybody's talking about, which you should have, and he should have been happy with that. What are you saying? The case of Reuven is, yeah, I have two stores, another guy opens them, I get half of what I had before. I should be happy with that, is what you're saying. I'd be happy that the guy took half of what I had.
I didn't say you should be happy.
He didn't say he should be happy. As a matter of fact, in the next chapter, the next parak of the Sefer, he talks about the interplay of halacha and musar. It's in some ways somewhat reminiscent of halachic man. He points out that musar can't be divorced from halacha. And he says, you might think they are separate disciplines. But there too, he uses a dramatic extreme. He says, imagine a situation where competition moves into town, and I take him to Bezin, I try to push him out, and he says, is this right or is this wrong? Is this al-Piyah Musar or shal al-Piyah Musar? He says the situation described is a competing Malamed. Competing Malamed moves into town, and he says that you would think that what you're doing is appropriate. He says, were it not for the fact there's a line in Maseches Bava Basra that says that the rules of Hasagas Gvul are very different by Malamdim, and that what's considered unfair competition elsewhere is al pi halacha mutter by Malamdim. Again, without getting into the details, but there are situations where it's considered to be inappropriate competition to move in someone else's business, if it's any other industry, but if it's a Malamid, then it's fine. There are parameters for everything. He says, were not for that Gemara in Bava Basra, that one line, then everything that the first Malamed did would have been ethical, apiyah musar, and appropriate. And he says, but now that the Gemara in Bava Basra says that what the second fellow did is mutter, so that totally changes the complexion of everything the first person did. And he said, we usually don't think that way. And they said, there's an interplay. Musar doesn't exist. Ethics don't exist in a vacuum. It's within the context of within the structure of halacha. As a matter of fact, you see that line right here, just to see the opening line. Perek Gimel. Chovos hamusarios heim lefamim guf echad in piskei halacha. At times, what Musar calls upon us to do could be one and the same with the psak halacha. V'ha'halacha machras as ha'asar v'zamotu shotar v'zamotu. Halacha may determine what's right and wrong from a Musar perspective. And he goes on to say, Gemara Bava Basra, Malam the Tinokos, and then he has a lengthy plays this idea out. So there's
but the pizza guy, you just said, would be, meaning Malam, you don't have that right. But a pizza guy, in the scenario, the Reuven scenario, he should be, or take him to Bez and whatever. So the fact that you're going out of your way and helping him kind of seems to me a little bizarre.
It's not something that I'm required to do. Absolutely.
No. To me, it's in other words, if you ask the Rav, I'm a pizza guy, another pizza guy is moving in next door. What should I do? Should I take him to Bez or should I bring out the bagpipes and start and run his open house for him? What would you say?
I would say, number one, let's figure out what the din is. Sometimes some competition is appropriate, some is not. And a lot of that has to do with how reasonable it is that we could both thrive.
He doesn't say that. He doesn't talk about reasonableness. He's going to get to the next.
And also, right. Another point is that there's Ikra Adin, Lefnim Ashuras Adin. There's Lefnim Ashuras Adin in Hilchas Sukkah, they keep Lefnim Ashuras Adin in Beit HaMachaviro, and in Bitachon. Because you might be right. There may be situations where I'm not mechuyev to go and do this, but as I grow my relationship, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes more and more part of my life, this might be something to strive for. At times, it might not be something to strive for. Now, to do something which B'derech HaTeva is ruining me, again, going back to that same point, is different. The situation that could go either way. But let's see what he says in Sifa. But again, I think as Jake was making a very important point, he's painting an ideal which may not be reachable for everyone, but he's painting, you hit your wagon to a star, you'll move in the right direction. Even if you're not going to get to that star. V'yisron ha'or min ha'choshech, yisron ha'emes min ha'sheker, yisron bitachon amiti mi bitachon azif. The difference between light and dark. Consider the difference between these two portraits. Consider something real and something hollow. And then it goes on to dig more in section Vav into some more of the details of Bitachon and specifically Hishtadlus. Im ki ikari ha-bitachon mi-yichovas ha-lev u-mista'afim mi-menu mitzvos ma'asyos. It's true that the root of Bitachon is internal. It has to do with my mind and heart. And it branches out into different actions. We're talking before about withstanding the desire to do something underhanded or inappropriate to a potential competitor. It's not just about what one should not do, it's also about what's considered appropriate in shtadlus. Let's talk about what's considered to be the right way, not just what I shouldn't do negatively vis-a-vis others, what should I be doing for myself? And here he's going to, through a remarkable medrash, and Jake might say this is, again, presenting an extreme that embodies a very important idea. He's going to take a particular approach to a famous medrash, one that's coming up in the Sedra just a couple of weeks. It's certainly not the only way to read this medrash, but I think even if you don't read this into the medrash, he's making it very important. Even if one doesn't accept his application of the principle in reading this medrash, but I think the principle is something we need to think about. We really ought to think before we act. I'm making a decision, so I need to make thoughtful decisions, act from a place of deliberation, and one of the things I need to think about is in Himuskevas Emias HaBitachon. Does this express bitachon? Do my actions express bitachon or not? Consider the following example. Chazal Omer Medrash, Rabba and Parshas Mikates. Ki hishtadluso shal Yosef HaTzadik levekesh misar HaMashkim his kartani hayesel kezilzol b'minas HaBitachon. And Chazal famously comment that Yosef's request of the Sar HaMashkim was an inappropriate one. There's something wrong about that Yosef interprets the dreams. He's in prison. One of the first, not exactly a blood libel, but something close to it, a libel against Yosef HaTzadik. He's thrown into Egyptian prison because of the story, the canard that was made up by Ashes Potiphar. So now he finds himself in jail, but apparently it's an aristocratic jail because he had been well-placed in the home of Sarah Tabachim, and he finds himself cellmates with the Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ofim, interprets their dreams, and the Sar HaMashkim is touched that Yosef gave him the positive read, and the read comes out to be correct. And on the way out, Yosef says to him, by the way, keep me in mind. It's Kartani. The Chazal said that was inappropriate, and Chazal suggests in the Medrash that he ended up with extra jail time as an onesh min hashamayim for having reached out to the royal butler in that way.
Isn't that a pasuk? Doesn't Torah say that he forgets him?
Right.
It goes out of its way to say, not that they don't remember, he forgot him.
So that's what Chazal see, right. that was...
So you see that there's some element of that.
Correct.
Even if he's not who remembers
him. Right. Right. He ultimately does, but doesn't right away. But let's see. So that is interesting. And let's see, and look at the language. Look at the pasuk in the external pasuk that the Medrash quotes. The Amru, the Medrash comments, Ashrei HaGevah Asher Sam Hashem Yiftacho V'lo Pana El Rahavim. That's the pasuk. Lucky is a man, enriched is a man who places his Miftach, his trust, his Bitach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and didn't turn to Rahavim, didn't turn to nobles. So the Medrash is something actually surprising. Ashrei HaGevah Asher Sam Hashem Yiftacho praises the man who was Boteach by Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Yosef. That's Yosef. Who was a Boteach? Who was a Boteach? The Lopanah Rehavim, and such a Boteach wouldn't turn to Rehavim. The Medrash goes on to say, well, B'shul Shepanah Sarah Mashkim, Yosef did turn to Sarah Mashkim, Nitosaf Lo Shtei Shanim. See, he ends up with the Min HaShamayim with 2 extra years in prison. Right away, that Medrash is surprising. I understand. We're holding Yosef up as a... Hi, welcome. Holds Yosef up as a paradigm of bitachon, or he's the one who violates bitachon. It sounds like the Medrash is driving at there was a lack of bitachon in his reaching out to the Sar HaMashkim, which already is hard to understand. What happened to Hishtadlus? What's wrong? He's in jail. Here's someone who can help him. So he asked the Sar HaMashkim to help him. So you don't really understand what Yosef did wrong. And then we scratch our heads even further because the pasuk that the Medrash quotes to come in Yosef seems like it's coming both ways. The second half of the lucky is the man, look at this fellow who's a Boteach rather than being Panel Rahavim. The Medrash sounds like it's saying both halves of the Pasuk of Yosef. Yosef is a Boteach, but Boteach shouldn't be Panel Rahavim as opposed to Yosef who did. So make up your mind, which one is it? So the whole Medrash is hard to...
I'm not saying the question.
Why?
He was on such a high level. So him doing regular shtavlis is a problem. No. I mean, I think you're... Isn't that what you're saying? I mean, he's saying, like, this guy is the best, meaning regular Joe or regular person would do that. But since he was on such a level, he's held to a higher standard.
Oh, so that's definitely a possibility. And there are Rishonim who talk about that notion, Ramban, the Rambam, and others, that the notion of a sliding scale of Hashgacha Pratis. Yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the whole universe, but to use a human metaphor, he sometimes is more directly involved, personally involved. Personally is the ultimate human metaphor. Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes personally involved. There could be a sliding scale of how directly involved the Kadosh Baruch Hu was in a case versus sort of handling it through the structure he put into place. Mashal Ma Davar Doma. Imagine that the mayor of a major city decides that both for eco-conscious reasons and for economical reasons, we need to crack down on air conditioning use, overnight air conditioning use in city offices. So we're losing hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to air conditioning just being left on overnight. No one needs it. It's just a waste of energy, a waste of money. So the mayor decides from now on everyone needs to, you would think people could figure it on their own, but they can't. So issues an executive order that from this point on, every city office, last one out, for in the evening needs to turn off the air conditioning. Right? You want to turn on the next morning, it's your decision, but you can't leave the office with the AC run. Right? So you imagine that there might be one that the day that executive order is put into place. So there might be one or two offices where the mayor himself personally does it. Maybe it'll be a photo op. Right? Maybe it'll be his own office. Maybe the office that's the greatest offender. Whatever it is, we went to a place where the mayor himself personally walks in and he turns it off. Right? But in 1,000 and 10,000 other offices across the city, it'll happen also. And the mayor made it happen, but he doesn't personally, with his own fingers, turn it off. But there's a system, there's an apparatus in place, he signs the order, and it works its way down through the system, and everyone gets the memo, and people know what to do. So there's an apparatus, either way the mayor is making it happen, but in one office he's making it happen personally, in the other 999 offices, he's making it happen through his system. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unlike the mayor system, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu has malachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, with, other than people, no one else in play has Hashgacha Prat, has Bechir Chavshas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu making things happen directly is far more powerful than a human being running a human organization trying to make things happen directly. But the fact remains, it's merely a mashal, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does sometimes handle things more directly and sometimes handle things through the system that he has in place. So that's what Ramban and others seem to talk about, this notion of a sliding scale of Hashgacha Pratis. That the closer a person draws himself to Ribbono Shel Olam, the more directly Kadosh Baruch Hu Mi'ikra Gemida, the more directly involved the Kadosh Baruch Hu is in my life. And Ramban does develop that idea that more than one place, Pir Shal Torah and elsewhere, for someone who's a greater tzaddik, therefore the degree of hashtadlus he ought to be doing is different. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, more directly involved in my life, so then maybe I should be doing less hashtadlus. Now, but take a look at what, and that may be a piece of what's going on. But yeah.
Does that mean the person needs to know, he needs to consider himself to be a tzaddik?
You're saying maybe if I'm going to be an anav, so how am I going to? Chazan should just talk about the connection, interconnectedness between anava and itachon. I'm such an anav that I don't think I'm on the madrega to. I say if I'm a navi, I'm a CEO, I'm a conversation with malachim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with me. So then that's facts on the ground. Okay, I know that I'm a navi. But he's saying, short of that, so how are you going to know? I'm not sure. But I guess when we get there, we'll know.
No, but
also, anava doesn't mean you're kidding yourself.
Anava doesn't mean
that I'm unrealistic in my self-assessment. It means I don't take...
Right. It doesn't mean he didn't realize he was most tomato.
Right.
He doesn't, like, he was the guy with the masva. He was the one who went up to Shemayim. He knew who he was. But he understood his place in life. Anava is not an issue of
objectively, it's more subjective. Subjective, he understands. But like objectively, he understands that, you know.
Yeah, you know, the Mishnah and the Pirkei Avos. Atachzik tov ilmat haTorah harbe, atachzik tov leatzmucha, kiv kach natzart. Fellows, ben zochet to learn a lot of Torah, so not, don't like imagine you haven't learned, and you're not supposed to imagine your amarot, but atachzik tov leatzmucha. Don't think, you know.
Don't pat yourself on the back.
Right. Kach natzart. Baruch Hashem, I have the opportunity to do what I'm supposed to do. So I should... I recognize what I'm doing. I take joy in what I do, but I don't think therefore I'm the greatest guy in the world because, you know, Baruch Hashem, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. So a person realizes that he is living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu more intimately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into his life, so he might realize that Ramban talks about it. Does that mean that I'm not going to do as much as Tadlis? Does that mean maybe there'll be situations where 99% of the population should be going to the doctor, and because this fellow is such a 99.9999% of the population should be going to the doctor. This one in a million person, this one person out of a million, he's talking, that's a machlokes that we're showing him. Say, you know, his shtadlus is the same, or no? A person is really remarkably close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so everything changes. That's a good question. I'm not so if you take that approach, as several Rishonim do, so that may be how you read this Medrash. That because he was such a boteach, he shouldn't have been doing this. But let's see the way the Chazon Ish deals with it. Ritzon Aloma, Yosef Yada Shein Hatzalos Tluy B'Shtatus Hakol Me'Hashem. He knew he was a boteach. As the Medrash says, he was a boteach. He absolutely. We're not talking Noach. We're not talking Ketanei Amon. And he understood that Kadosh Baruch Hu was running the world. But so where was his mistake? That's where the Chazon Ish seems to be. He was a boteach, but he made a mistake. Don't think that he was poiling Rahavim because of a vast lack in bitachon. He was a boteach, but here was his error. Yosef knows Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Yosef knows the ultimate outcome is like the result of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's decision. And at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to act on my own behalf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to mishtadel, to be an active participant in my own destiny. So, Chiev Yosefus Atzmo L'Shamesh B'Ezdam Nozu U'Vakesh M'Sar Mashkim. So, Yosef figures, okay, this is appropriate Shabbos. I have a warm relationship with the Sar Mashkim. He's on the way out, so I better cash in my chips. The Amnam, so what was wrong with that? They all sound seems very reasonable. Amnam, here comes the Chazon Ish's assumption in reading this Medrash. V'hiyoshel fitchunas harahavim ein betiv olis kar'u lahitiv. So the nature of people in the position of the Tzar Mashkin is not to remember and not to care and not to want to help. Right? Now that's an assumption that he's making. And given that assumption... Given that assumption about politicians that the Chazon Ish is making, Ein ra'uy amal says they're rak mitoch yesh. So the Chazon Ish says this b'derech hateva should not have worked. He said honestly, again, one could disagree with the Chazon Ish's assessment of politicians, but that's what I was saying before. You can agree or disagree with the application, the Chazon Ish's application is medrash, but given that granted for the purpose of arguing that assumption. He says, if that's the case, if this was something that seems destined to fail, but Derech HaTeva, this isn't going to help. The Chazon Ish says, to do something that Derech HaTeva shouldn't help, I feel like I need to do something. So let's think about that calmly. So in the moment of crisis and stress, it's hard to think clearly. So the Chazon Ish says, if you can step back into the armchair, and this is not, you know, not Shalom, Shalom b'shas masa, to do something that b'derech hateva isn't going to help. So why are you doing that? You're doing that because you're just grasping at straws. Ein groya masa zarak mitoch yeish. That's part of the cop. So let's see how he plays it out.
You're saying that his katani saying it twice was not like some people learned that. That Moshe said that his katani twice was the garment.
Yeah, he says he paints a picture. Let's come back to your point. He paints a picture of this is a sort of thing that b'derech hateva isn't going to work. So why are you doing it? Yeyush. Yeyush means I've given up all hope, right? Like you have yeyush in a halachic sense. I've given up. I've despaired of finding my lost item. So So Yeish, in this situation, means I've despaired of help. I see no real way out. So I'll grasp at straws. I'm a Yewash, or I'm a Yewash. Even something that's unreasonable, doesn't really seem rational like it can help, I'll just do anything because, you know, I just feel like there's no floor left under my feet. So I'm just grasping at straws. But that's that the sense that all hope is, the sense that nothing can help me, that's our desperation itself bespeaks a lack of bitachon. Ein la botecha asos kuma eila. That bespeaks the lack of bitachon, and therefore that sort of hishtavlus is not the sort of hishtavlus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does expect us to take care of ourselves. Absolutely. And those things, as he says, bitachon means doing hishtavlus, a hishtavlus that's consistent with bitachon is a sort of thing that b'derech ha'teva could work. So that's to do things which are reasonable in this situation. But to just act out of desperation and panic is a violation of bitachon, because that takes us back to the very beginning. Again, desperation and panic are normal human reactions. Normal, understandable, but bespeak a lack of bitachon. Because to the extent that I deeply believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, so then all hope is not lost. If the Derech HaTav, there's some way that things can work themselves out, so then...
these things don't work, therefore he shouldn't do that, because it's, in other words, if he asked the question, should I or should I not go for some type of extreme treatment of some sort, that's experimental, whatever, the Derech HaTeva, they don't work. So you're saying, so if I ask you, Shana, just don't do it?
Those questions need to be considered very, very carefully. Let's talk about the principle. There's the question of extreme medical treatments needs to be considered, obviously, on a case-by-case basis. And the question of, at a certain point in the progression of an illness, should one be davening for healing or for comfort of the patient, is also, obviously, a question that requires very careful thought on a case-by-case basis. Given that,
saying he's
grasping
straws, but there's a 1 in 1,000 chance that helps. It's still 1 in 1,000. Why not take it?
Right. It's better than nothing. All right, so I'm not sure why you assume experimental treatments are, it's unreasonable that they can help. Experimental treatments we can't predict. We can't predict. So when you're making a risk assessment, so in other words. But it's not a violation of Derech HaTeva to assume that the experiment is great. And they may not, we have no idea.
In the case of the guard, it's a gavra. In the case of this, it's a chesa. You know, it's like the object might work or not. So that's like a sort of objective.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. And there's also, there is no track record for an experimental treatment. So it's just unpredictable. Here there is a track. He's assuming, again, the Chazan is assuming, there is a track record. We know what the numbers are, and they're horrible.
But we also have a track record of experimental treatments over the last 50 years have proven to give...
Right. Some have, and some have not.
Some
right.
Have, some
so,
have
but, okay, so...
it's unreasonable to try something
that
makes no sense.
Right.
So let's
wrap up for now. We'll pick up with this Mr. Shem next week. But let's wrap up for now. The core of what he's saying, and we can unpack it some more next time, is that it goes back to the one of the very first points he made. Bitachon will give me headspace. Bitachon will give me a sense of calm, even in the face of an uncertain future. And so Bitachon ought to allow me to think clearly and calmly and rationally, like, what's the best thing to do under these circumstances. Again, experimental treatment, maybe yes, maybe not, but it'll give me the sort of it'll turn down the volume on the noise in my head, and let's really think under these circumstances, looking at all the factors, maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. But I won't be acting out of panic. It'll enable me to make decisions from a rational place, and we'll have to pick up with a lot of loose threads in which next week.